Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dan Hedrington from SEH.
That's correct. So what happened is the state officials took all the comments. They recorded the entire meeting. They took all the comments from those attending, but also they took written comments from other people who didn't have the ability to attend. They will actually take all those comments and consider, you know, potential impacts, or consider and evaluate those as far as for, you know, what they would recommend to our process. And then at that point, they're going to come back and they'll say, what we're hoping for is a recommendation that they allow us the allocation of water we requested. And it may have, you know, a condition or something on it. They may offer insight or some thoughts as far as for concerns from someone in the area or something like that. But yeah, we're hoping that we get that back in the next few weeks.
Transitioning to the environmental studies still, or sticking on that, but wonder more about wildlife. Are you guys much involved with any wildlife studies with the environment? I know they're trying to do quite a bit to be environmentally sound, and the wildlife, obviously, that's a big part of the environment. Are you guys involved with anything like that?
Oh, yeah, and actually, the permits that we were granted by the by Billings County, there were actually there was a fair amount of attention being given to those issues, that issue specifically. So part of the process is county asked us, okay, what's going on with cultural resources? What's going on with endangered species, threatened or endangered species? So what we do as part of our permitting process through the county, we contacted federal and state agencies that are in charge of wildlife. So specifically U.S. Fish and Wildlife and North Dakota Game and Fish, and they did a database research. They did the database research on their system and found that there was no impacts to threatened or endangered species. But actually what they found was, specifically it was worded like this: no threatened or endangered species would likely be impacted in the area or for the project. Now, I'm going to elaborate on that just a little bit, just to give everybody an understanding. In the event that we're out there, and even though that those agencies said that there wasn't going to be an impact or would likely not be an impact, in the event that we're out there and we begin construction and we find something, we're obligated, we have a duty to report that to those agencies so they can come in and assist us with either, trying to come up with a remedy or a modification to the facility that would minimize those impacts. So even though they came back and said, you know, we're good, we don't think we're going to have any impacts, we still have to watch for that during construction process. The second part of that is, so on that same question is, we also do things like wetland impact studies. We do wetlands protection. We're concerned about wetland protection, so we went out there and we delineated the sites, so the boundary or perimeter of the wetlands, so that we can incorporate that information into our design so that we minimize any impacts, that minimize as much impact to those wetlands as we can. So any potential wildlife or you know, species or that are living in those, you know, we minimize those impacts as well. We also are in the process of developing a program to work with some local universities to come up with a program with them and their staff and their students to, because this project is, you know, we're very excited about it. It's a high-level project where we have, a lot of opportunity to do some really good things. And on the property that's preserved for the development itself, there's additional acreage that won't be utilized. So what we're doing is we're in the process of developing a program with those local universities to come up with ways that we can use that property to the best benefit of the area. And some of the things that have been suggested is possible habitat for different things, but also maybe planting clover, things like that, for the bee species in the area, and help with that population out there, so that we can support it as well. So there's a bunch of things that are kind of going on. Some of it had to be done early on in regards to, because, you know, Billings County was concerned about the impacts to threatened and endangered species prior to their issuing of their permit. And then the other things as far as sort of like wetland that's ongoing, and working with local universities that's ongoing. So there's a bunch of things that are going on. We definitely have Meridian's direction that you know, this is an important part of the project. They want our attention given to it, and we're working on those areas.
I think one of my favorite things about this whole deal is, well, first of all, you find out exactly how much goes into permitting and goes into site and everything that goes with just building. I mean, everything that goes into it before you even dig with a shovel is unbelievable. And to me, one of the more amazing ones was I was talking with the CEO, William Prentice, I think it was right around Christmas time, and he mentioned to me about flying a kite so that people from the park couldn't see it, or there was a certain amount of distance so that nobody could see it. You said yes, so you're familiar with this. Describe this kite thing that had to happen. I mean, to me, that took the cake when it came to permitting. I mean,
well, I appreciate that, but to be honest with you, it was a lot of fun. It gave us an opportunity to interact with the locals out there, and actually, I think that's why we have so much support from the locals, people who are actually paying attention to what we're doing and how we're trying to incorporate all of these beneficial things into the project are really supportive. They're just, and they've been great to deal with. So what, the little bit of background on this was this. So when we were going through the Billings County permitting for our conditional use permits and our zoning approvals, the concern came up from the park is that they would be able to see it, the facility from the park. So initially we grabbed the two closest locations to the facility that are in the park, which was, I think we used the southeast corner of the park, and I believe we used the visitor center right there along I-94. So we went up to those locations. We fully surveyed this with our instruments. So we surveyed the location of our refinery compared to that site, and then we took photographs from those viewpoints, and then we overlaid our refinery on those photographs, but we also took into effect the contours of the property or the land in between the park itself and the refinery.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hedrington from SEH, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
And anyone but the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Should have seen it coming, a hatchet and a butcher block, but she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today.
Land in the pot, where you end up depends less on luck than what you do or what you got. So keep your head on a swivel, look both ways when you cross the street, 'cause this world is full of sharks and wolves, and all they ever do is eat. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. There's always an eye on you.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Entrek Crane and Heavy Haul, raising the bar for lifting and moving extreme loads of all types. Entrek specializes in platform and conventional heavy haul, equipment hauling, rig and camp moves, and much more. Entrek's the market leader with a modern, well-maintained fleet of 245 cranes. Get your load on the road. Call Entrek Crane and Heavy Haul, 701-552-2715, 701-552-2715. Entrek Crane and Heavy Haul.
Now, many of you are familiar with like the Soybean Bureau, the Corn Association, the Farm Council, different organizations like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Dakota Cannabis Club, a member-driven association that provides professional assistance to the cannabis industry, plus representation at the state capitol. The future of North Dakota's cannabis industry is being set today, with laws and rules under development that will define how the business can operate in the future. DakotaCannabisClub.com. That's DakotaCannabisClub.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.